Let us begin with the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in the third perek, where the Rambam tells us, HaPoresh Midarkei HaTzibur, somebody who separates themselves from whatever the Tzibur is living through, from whatever they are experiencing. Afal pi shelo avar averos, says the Rambam, you can be a Jew who never does anything wrong. Lo avar averos. How many people do you know in the world that never did anything wrong? There are no such people alive. But says the Rambam, Afal pi shelo avar averos ela nivdal me'ados Yisrael. The only thing you've done wrong is that you have separated yourself and not made yourself feel a part of what's happening. Velo nichnas b'tzarasan, and you don't identify and associate yourself with the troubles, with the difficulties of the Jewish people. Elaholech bedarko ke'echad migoi ha'aretz uke'ilu eina mehen. You just go about life like there's nothing going on. Says the Rambam, listen carefully. Ein lo chelek le'olam haba. It's a very strong statement. Ein lo chelek le'olam haba. Very few things that one can do that make them deserving of that title of someone who is Ein lo chelek le'olam haba. But says the Rambam, a person who is included in that category is one who does not see themselves as part of the tzibur. Ve'eino nichnas bitzarasa. What that means to each person is going to be something else. But at the very baseline level, every single Jew all over the world needs to feel, needs to identify, needs to associate, needs to understand, needs to really put themselves in the situation where they are included in the tzarasam shel Yisrael. And even if you don't have a direct family member that is fighting in the army, you don't have direct family members who are living in a shelter, even if you don't have people who may have been killed or who are hostages, even if none of that applies to you, the Rambam writes, we have an obligation to be nichnas b'tzarasam shel Yisrael. We have an obligation to make sure that we identify with whatever is going on in the Jewish community. Everyone in the Jewish community all over the world is struggling. Everyone is suffering. I would venture to say everyone is living in some kind of daze. But let's be clear. Of course, those who are living in Eretz Yisrael have unimaginable fears, are waking up every day with terrible concerns that in no way can be put into the same sentence as any of the anxieties that anyone in Chutz La'aretz may have. Here we are sitting in the diaspora, and let's be honest, we are on the sidelines. We are not in the front lines. We are not living this the way so many of our brothers and sisters are living it in Eretz Yisrael, each on their own level. And I just want to make clear that what we're going to talk about today is really addressing us here in the diaspora. It's not the same at all, but Jews all over the world are suffering, each to their own degree and each to their own level. Pasuk writes in Parshas Ha'azinu, we just read it a few weeks ago, Hatsur tamim pa'alo ki chal derachav mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being described here in the Pasuk as Hatsur tamim pa'alo. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is mishpat, is equitable, it's fair. El emuna ve'ein avel tzadik v'yashar hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is precise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything with accuracy. Everything that he does is just. He is an El emuna ve'ein avel. There is nothing that he does that is unfair. Tzadik v'yashar hu. Now when you're describing a friend of yours and you want to say what a great person that individual is, it would make sense to use these kinds of descriptions. But we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that not obvious to all of us? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik v'yashar, he's an el emuna v'ein avel. It's almost redundant. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. We know that the Ribono Shel Olam is just and fair and equitable. So what does it mean when the Torah goes out of its way to highlight this perspective? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an el emuna v'ein avel, he's a tzaddik v'yashar, of course. It goes without saying. So what do we mean? The Balei Musar explain what we mean is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dayan HaEmes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge in the end of the day who determines, who decides what happens in people's lives. But let's use it in our terms for a moment. We have Dayanim in our system as well. We have judges. We have a legal, we have a judicial system. We believe in it. We believe that a judge is supposed to be impartial. We believe that a judge is supposed to be a tzaddik v'yashar, ein avel. We believe that a judge doesn't take bribes, is trying to live a upstanding lifestyle so that they could be fair to all those who stand in front of them. Of course, every so often you have corruption. But on the whole, we believe that a judge that we stand in front of is somebody who really has an impartial feeling. I remember many years ago, my father told us as children, you know, we all get letters in the mail to serve on jury duty. Sometimes federal juries, sometimes state juries, whatever it might be. And everybody tries, not everybody, but many people try whatever they can to get out of it. My father always showed up. And I always said to him, why can't you tell them that you're teaching hundreds of students every day, that you have a pretty important lifestyle, that you're just not available? Or maybe when they do a selection, you should just say that you're disqualified for whatever reason. No, he says, this is my civic duty. And he always showed up. Every single time he showed up. And almost every time without fail, he was called onto a jury. So I remember he used to tell us the stories about him sitting there being part of a case. On one occasion, I remember he came home and he told us how he was so hurt by something that the judge said. There was a jury selection. They selected whoever it was, and he was one of the people who was selected. Then the defense got up and said that they wanted to disqualify him. Why did they want to disqualify him? So they said, he looks like a rabbi. He looks like a Jew. And the person who is being put on trial is a Muslim. And we feel that he has an internal bias against this person who is standing on trial. So they wanted to disqualify him. And the judge says, okay, you're dismissed, you're disqualified. And they took him off the case. I would have danced out of court not to have to be stuck there. My father came home and he was very hurt. And he said that he responded to the judge, why do you believe that I'm a dishonest person? Why do you believe that I can't be impartial? Why do you believe that I hate other people and I have a bias for or against an individual? Why can't you believe that people are actually honest? And I remember that. It made such an impression on me that he was hurt, that he was being accused of not being an honest, upstanding, righteous person. It bothered him. I think to most of us, we'd be thrilled. But it bothered him. So we believe in a judicial system. But what happens when someone stands on trial? You deal with the facts that are in front of you. Somebody committed a crime. The legal experts know how to exact punishment to somebody who did this kind of crime. Different categories, different levels of crime, and therefore different kinds of responses that we have to the crime that was committed. Of course, that's all for the legal experts to figure out. Does it matter that this individual who may have been involved in this terrible act, ruining society, whatever it is that they may have done, does it matter that they have children at home, that they have a wife at home? Does it matter that they have a spouse who loves them, that they have parents and grandparents, that they're a leader of a community? It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. We don't take that into equation. We don't take that into account. We deal with the crime that's in front of us. We deal with the facts. And if in fact this is what happened, there is nobody who is above the law, and there's nobody who's going to stop this individual from getting the punishment that they deserve. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an El Emuna Ve'ein Avel, it doesn't mean that we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is honest. We all knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is honest. So what do we mean when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Tzaddik V'yasher? Explain the Bali Musar, Rabbi Yelapian and others, or Chaim Shmulevitz, others write the same idea. What they explain is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes a judgment against an individual, he takes into account before doing that all of the collateral, indirect, secondary damage that's going to come along with it. So say, for example, someone, Rachmana Litzlan, is a gzeira min hashamayim that they're supposed to have cancer. Now, that doesn't impact only that person. Of course, the most impacted is the individual themselves, who's going to have to go through treatment, who's going to have to deal with everything to try to get themselves rehabilitated and healthy. But aside from that, you have their close family members that are very impacted. heavily impacted. You have their close friends. You have the community that's worrying about them. You have the people that are their employers who are now going to lose out because this individual is not able to show up to work. You have many different layers of individuals who are impacted by one person's tragedy. Says the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an El Emunah Ve'ein Avel, because when he takes into account the gzeira on an individual, he keeps in mind all of the collateral damage that's going to come along with it. And if somebody who's going to be hurt by it is not deserving of being hurt, then that person will not get the cancer. Not because they're not supposed to get it, but because another individual is not supposed to be suffering. And that would be enough to stop it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he exacts punishment, is so meticulous, is so careful, is so deliberate, and everything is examined perfectly, that he understands from the outset how much anguish, how much tsar, how much pain every piece of the collateral damage is going to feel. And all of that is taken into account. I mention that because what that means, when we have the entire Jewish people suffering, every single one of us, all over the world, again, varying degrees, those who are on the front lines, those who are in ground zero, those who have children who are sent away, those who have grandchildren who are serving in the army, those who have lost relatives, those who have hostages who are taken into Gaza, all of those, of course, in a category of their own, but every Jew all over the world who is suffering, even the smallest degree, even the smallest amount, all of that, realize, was taken into account by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the outset. What does that say about what kind of gzeira min hashamayim this is? What does that say about what the Jewish people are deserving of right now? What does that say if HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that we were all deserving of a gzeira min hashamayim that impacts every single one of us all over the world? Ayom v'nora. It's terrifying. In my mind, it's shocking. We just experienced Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkis, Ki Yitzpedeti B'Sukko V'Yom Ra, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still feels that the Jewish people are deserving of such a gzeira, of being so hurt and so pained. To me, it's a moment of tshuva. Many people have had different kind of kavana during their tefillos over the last couple of days and weeks. Some people are focusing more on Goel Yisrael. Some people are focusing more on Sim Shalom. I've actually noticed as I've been going through the tefillah, certain words that maybe never stood out to me, but I'm noticing more now, things that are more relevant to this time of year. And I think all of us should pay attention to the davening. Focus on one phrase. You ever thought in Birchas Kriyas Shema? When we say every day, in the second bracha of Kriyas Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oseh Hadashos Baal Milchamos. You ever thought about that? Who here ever thought of the words Baal Milchamos? You know what Baal Milchamos means? It means you are the one who is waging a war. It's not Bibi Netanyahu, and it's not President Biden, and it's not any other country in the world, and it's not Iran, and it's not Hezbollah, and it's not Hamas. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is the Baal Milchamos. And what are the very next words that we say after that in davening? Zoreat Stokos Matzmiach Yeshuas. The same way that you are the Baal HaMilchama, you also have the ability to be the Matzmiach Yeshua. So everybody's focusing on different things, or at least we should be focusing on different parts of the davening that maybe we ever used to. To me, the bracha in the Shemona Esrei that I've been focusing on more than any other is Harotze B'Tshuva, Islach Lanu. Is it not clear that we all need to do a tremendous amount of tshuva? Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided this is a gzeira min hashamayim that we were all deserving of. It's not just one community who lives in the south of Israel or one community who lives somewhere that's going through a difficult time. This is every Jew who feels this was deserving of the feelings that they're having. That's an overwhelming feeling to think about. But that means that it's a time for Harotze B'Tshuva. It's a time to be thinking about ourselves. We have such a focus throughout the year on Yetzias Mitzrayim. We talk about it incessantly. We're always reminding ourselves about Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. We have a mitzvah, Leman Tizkor Es Yom Tzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Every Shabbos, every Yom Tov and Kiddush and the davening, we're always reminding ourselves about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam says in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, Hilchos Pesach, B'chol Dar V'Dar, once a year, we don't just remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we put ourselves back into the mindset. We reenact the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In describing Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's an amazing medrash. Just put yourself back into that moment for just an imagination. Here we have the Jewish people in the middle of the Yam Suf, standing in the midst of dry land, the most spectacular, supernatural, wondrous miracle in world history. The Ribbono Shel Olam showed them Yada Chazaka V'Zra'a Netuya. The Ribbono Shel Olam showed the world who is in charge. The Ribbono Shel Olam showed the world it doesn't matter how much you oppress the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Matzmiach Yeshuos. What does Matzmiach Yeshuos mean? He can create some kind of salvation out of nothing. You're stuck in Mitzrayim, nobody sees a path forward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the Yam Suf. Matzmiach Yeshuos. Nobody could have ever imagined that. Now here you are, standing there, experiencing the most obvious revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yad HaChazaka ever in history. Listen to this phenomenal conversation that took place on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the middle of the Yam Suf. So just imagine, you're there with your best friends, with your family, and everybody's marching through the Yam Suf, and you see Hamayim Lahem Choma Miminam Umismolam, right? You see, there's water on both sides of you, and you're astounded by these miracles. Like the Gemara says, Masharasa Shivcha Alayam Lara Yecheskel Ben Buzi Ben Ivuaso. This was the moment of clarity that every Jew was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that Yecheskel, the great Navi, was never able to attain. That's what they were living through. Listen to this. Kivin Shiyardu L'toch Hayam. They go down into the dry land in the middle of the Yam Suf. Hayamaletit, their arms, their legs, their bodies, their clothing got dirty. It's probably muddy, even though the water was standing up. I would imagine the dry land underneath was not sand. It was muddy. Shahaya ad achshav lachman amayim. There had been water on that ground for a very long time. It's hard to dry it up. So as you're marching through, your feet are getting stuck in the mud a little bit. You're kicking up some of the mud onto your pants, onto your skirt. Everybody's bumping into each other. Okay, listen, Reuven and Shimon are going together, two good friends, two neighbors, and they're looking around and they're amazed. But Reuven turns to Shimon and he says, you know, Bimitzrayim tit uviyam tit. When we were in Mitzrayim, we had mud all over our clothing because we were sitting and working in the fields, and now more of the same. B'Mitzrayim b'chemer u'b'levenim u'vayam chemer mayim rabim. Here we are in the Yam Suf, same thing. You know, we were working with bricks and mortar, we got all dusty, we were dirty, same thing. Same thing. You know what I take from that conversation? You could have somebody who's in the midst of experiencing the most sublime, transcendent, glorious moment, glorious experience, and yet that very same person can be so blind, can be so narrow-minded, is unable to really appreciate the set of circumstances that's in front of them. You don't understand the gravity of the moment that you're living through. You're busy worrying about the mud on the bottom of your clothing instead of realizing you're walking through a Yam Suf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to you. The Ribbono Shel Olam is communicating. He's here. You're seeing something with clarity that all the Nevi'im were never able to see, but you can't see it. All you're focused on is the mud on the bottom of your clothing. All you can focus on, all you can talk to your friend about is not the astounding miracles, is not the grand revelation. All you can see right now is, you know, there's so much dust here. This is really, I'm claustrophobic, like it's crowded. And I think all of us are like that in some way. All of us are like that in some way. The Ribono Shel Olam is talking to us. We spoke about this a little last week. If you can't see that this is Yad Hashem, if you don't understand, there is no way, al pi derech hateva, to explain what has happened. We live in a civilized world. We live with an IDF that the world knows and understands is a powerful army. We know that the United States of America relies on the intelligence of the Israeli army. Such a colossal intelligence failure, it's like almost embarrassing to talk about it. Thousands of casualties, hundreds of hostages. Who has heard of such a thing? You hear about such barbaric acts, you hear about such calamities with ISIS in uncivilized countries, in uncivilized locations where they have no government, where they have no armies. You don't hear about that with us. Im Hashem lo yishmar ir, shav shakad shomar, we can have the most powerful army in the world, it's worth nothing. If we don't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Amlachim and He is the one who's communicating with us. And instead of realizing that, everyone's busy with the Chomer Levenim. Everyone's distracted with everything else. Let me join 1,000 WhatsApp groups to watch every second what's happening, what's not happening. Biden is going to Israel. He's not going. Who in the world cares? That's what you're worried about when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. When you see the Ribono Shel Olam in real time revealing Himself to us, giving us Gzeirah min Hashamayim, yelling and screaming at us. And all I can worry about is all this narishkeit, all the simplicity. Who's going to be held accountable and how can this be? And how's this one going to react and that one going to respond? And what kind of expectations are there going to be? Do you not realize? You're walking through the Yam Suf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing extraordinary things that He doesn't always do. He's opening our eyes, but we continue to be blind. And what am I worried about? I'm worried about all the peripheral issues of the war. All the things that are totally irrelevant. All the things that have nothing at all to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation that is so obvious and so clear to us. But we just can't face it. It's very hard to look the Ribono Shel Olam in the face and say, you know, it's time to change. My life has to change. Just last night, I spoke to a woman. She lives in New Jersey, a very dear friend. She had 48 people in her house. She has a house that can hold a lot of people. She had 48 people in her house for Rosh Hashanah, eating by her house on Rosh Hashanah. And she told me very last minute, there was somebody who came who's dating a non-Jew. A young man who's dating a non-Jewish woman. Totally a Jew, but totally part of the secular world. Very involved in the NBA. Whatever it may have been. Last night she told me, this man called her up and said, he dropped his non-Jewish girlfriend. With this going on in the world, I need to be proud that I'm a Jew. This is a Jew who has very limited understanding of what it means to be a Jew. This is a Jew who, until last week, had no problem the fact that the rest of his progeny, that the rest of his future generations would never be Jewish again. But even he understands, the Ribono Shel Olam is talking to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with me. V'ro kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. The Ribono Shel Olam is talking to us. And we're ignoring him because we're busy worrying about the Chomer Ulevenin. When we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, we don't just remember the awesome miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. That's part of what we remember. We don't just remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who can do anything in the world. That's part of it. We also remember what came along with it. That there were people in the community who just simply couldn't connect or understand with the gravity and the extraordinary nature of the moment that they were experiencing. And they just remained in this little simplistic bubble, worrying about the same things they always worried about. And my iced coffee is not the way it should be. And my gym is too crowded. And what am I going to do that my kids are keeping me up at night? And these are the things you're worrying about. These are the things you're worrying about. These are the things that are concerning us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yelling at us. So I was trying to think, why am I so depressed? Anybody else wonder? Why do people fall into depression? I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a simple person who likes to think about things. So I was thinking when I was davening yesterday, we say in Psukei Dezimra, Pasuk in Tehillim, Harofei l'shvurei lev. Shvurei lev means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to send a refuah. He's able to cure not people who are sick physically, but people who are shvurei lev, people who have broken hearts, people who are depressed. So I noticed those words yesterday. I don't think that I normally consider that so much. But right now I'm a shvurei lev. And I hope everybody else is also able to see themselves in the category of shvurei lev. But we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be merapei us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to cure us from that sense of shvurei lev. Umechavesh la'atzvosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu echovesh means somebody who is a first responder. Somebody who can cure others. La'atzvosam means people are very sad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be a first responder. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of the shvurei lev and the etzev and the pain and the sadness. Listen to the next words in the pasuk. Mona mispar lakochavim lechulam shemas yikra. Usually we assume that there's some kind of flow to the psukim in Tanakh, some kind of connection between the two fragments of a sentence. So the first part of the sentence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to cure us from our sadness and from our depression. And how do you know? Because he's Mona Misfor Lakochavim Lechulam Shemos Yikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Rofe L'Shvurei Lev, is also the one who has set up the galaxy the way it is, who has called each one of the stars in the sky by a particular name. He knows exactly the number of how many stars there are in the entire galaxy. Lechulam Shemos Yikra. And he has given a particular name to each of those. So all the Mefarshim are bothered. How do you understand the connection between these two fragments of the pasuk? They have no connection at all. And the way they explain it is that sometimes the root of somebody's sadness is when we feel that we're going through something difficult and there's no meaning to the difficulty that we're living through. I'm speaking to a room full of women, many of you who have had children on your own, so I can't identify with what it feels like. I've been told that it's painful. Safe to say. Pregnancy is painful. Labor and delivery is painful. Postpartum is painful. This is no secret. Is it depressing? Sharon, depressing? Why, for the most part, is it not a depressing activity? So, it may be the most painful thing you've ever experienced in your life, but it's not depressing. Because you know exactly why it is that you're doing what you're doing. When is labor and delivery extremely depressing? When you have a woman, Rahmana Litzlan, in her 9th month, who knows that she has to go through a labor and delivery for a stillborn. So you're going through all this pain, you're going through all this horror, all this agony, with seemingly no point. It's just meaningless. That's when you get depressed. You're not depressed from pain and sadness. You're not depressed from something that hurts you. Some people work very hard. Some people love to run. Anybody here a runner? Hey, Sue. Some people like to exercise, very intense exercises. Sometimes it's very painful on your body, but you're not depressed from that because you understand that there's a point, there's a matara, there's a reason why I'm doing this. When do people get depressed? When I'm living through a sad tkufa, when I'm living through a difficult experience that I see seems like there is no point at all. Correct? Is that a fair assumption? David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, there are people who live life feeling a sense of shvurei lev, feeling a sense of depression, feeling itzavon, feeling very, very sad. What is my answer to you, says David HaMelech? Look up at the sky. We're here on this world, and we look up at the sky at night. Go to Arizona, where you don't have all the other things in the way that cloud your vision of the sky. And you look up at a beautiful sky, and you see how complicated the sky actually is. But in truth, you see an endless black hole with stars strewn about all over the place that seem to have no seder. And you go the next night and you see things are in a different order. And everything just seems so haphazard. Do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mona misbar lakochavim? Do you know that all of that haphazardness that you see in the sky, all of the black, endless reality that we look up at, and we happen to notice a couple of white speckles here and there, we have no understanding of what that is, but do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mona misbar lakochavim? There's a purpose for every single one and where it is placed. L'chulam shemas yikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a name to every one of those stars, to every single small aspect of that unfathomable galaxy that we look up at and we just see a tiny bit of it. Do you know that in that inexhaustible black hole that we look up at, there is actually a seder to all of it? There's a purpose? If you're feeling a sense of shvurei lev, it's because you don't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mona misbar lakochavim. L'chulam shema sikra. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a mission. Everything is for a stated goal. There's a reason for everything that's happening in the world. It's not haphazard. The same way the sky and the kochavim are in no way haphazard. It is all calculated. It is all determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly the way it should be. So is the experience of life. And that should take off the edge just a little bit. Because we're doing something for a purpose. Why is it? You talk to people who are in the army now. We, as the people standing on the side, are depressed for them. They are not depressed. They are proud. They are happy. They're going willingly. There is nothing stopping them. They have no hesitation at all. Why? The answer is because they know I have a purpose, I have a mission. And if I die for that mission, it's worth dying for. The same way a mother, if she would be asked, do you want to die for that child that you're about to have? Every single mother would agree unanimously, I will die for my child. Why will you die for your child? What kind of life is that? Why is that meaningful? You're not going to live? You're such a selfless person. How come when somebody hit you in the parking lot yesterday, you went crazy at them? And all of a sudden you're ready to die for your child? The answer is because I don't see any purpose to a person hitting me in the parking lot. I do see purpose and meaning in giving birth to this child. And if it means I'm going to have to give up my life for it, I'm prepared to do that. Not because I'm the most selfless person in the world, but because I see a purpose and a mission. Doesn't matter how painful it is. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. I'm prepared to do it b'simcha because I understand that I'm part of something important that's happening. Because I have a mission that I was tasked to do. When a person lives life understanding that this purpose to the experience of life that they have, they're no longer depressed. People feel depressed because they feel life is meaningless. Because I don't know why I'm going through this. Because I don't see any good, positive purpose to anything that I'm going through. So what should I feel other than depression? Why would God do this to me? Every chayal that's out there feels proud of exactly what they're about to do. Because they understand life is with purpose and mission. It's not depressing. It's depressing for everybody else, like us, that feels, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What is my mission? Correct? Am I wrong? It's depressing for everybody else who's standing on the side and has no idea what to do. And for us, it's one big chaos. It's one big black hole that we look up and we see some specks, some stars, a little bit of this. We hear so many nice things that are going on in the world, in the community, beautiful. But in the end of the day, it's one big black hole. This is totally crazy. If you just take a moment to realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mona Misbar LaKochavim. L'chulam Shemos Yikra. Nothing in the world is haphazard. Everything has a mission and purpose. When you start thinking like that, you realize there's no reason to be a Shuri Lev. My father is one of the most emotional people I've ever met. He cries when he gives a regular shiur to his class, when he talks about nothing. Literally. The Gemara mentions about Eretz Yisrael, some kind of pasuk, he starts crying. I've never seen my father depressed. Never. Extremely emotional. Cries every time a serious question comes up, every time a shiloh is discussed with him, that is about end of life, and I can tell you, he gets these questions every single day of the week. He's on the phone with families, with hospitals, with doctors, nothing to do with the war. Every day of the week, he's on the phone with an end-of-life shiloh, without fail. Cries every time. Never gets depressed. Never. Because when a person understands, when a person lives life understanding, that everything we're going through might be sad, it might be difficult, but think about it that way. The way that a mother understands the mission of giving birth to a child, and it's painful, and it's difficult, and it's hard, and I would never choose to go through something like that. But when I understand the mission that I'm being asked to do, it doesn't depress me. It doesn't make me sad. It makes it difficult, painful. Let's not wash over those emotions, but not sad. The Gemara Maseches Brachos comments on a pasuk, "Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem VeHashem Shechachani." Tzion means Eretz Yisrael was crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, says to the Ribono Shel Olam, "Azavani VeShechachani." What does that mean? Sometimes you have a child, you have a spouse, you have a family member who decides they need some distance. And it's hard. Azavani means you have left the people who you love. But you know in the depths of your heart that that person, even though physically they have left right now, they need some space, they didn't forget about you. They don't want to erase the memory of you in their life. Eretz Yisrael cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Navi describes, that it almost feels as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only Azavani, not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us, but V'Hashem Shechachani. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't want to ever remember us again. Not just that he has distanced himself, but that he has no interest in any relationship in the future either. He just wants to cut all ties. That's the way Eretz Yisrael feels. Says the Gemara, Amra Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people say to the Ribono Shel Olam, Adam Nosei Isha Al Ishto HaRishona. Imagine a man is married for 35 years, has a wonderful marriage, has a bunch of children and grandchildren, a beautiful family, and unfortunately his wife dies. But he's only 65 years old. So should he live out the rest of his life single? No. So he gets remarried. But Zocher Maisa HaRishona. Here and there, he remembers and he brings up beautiful stories about his previous spouse who raised all of his children, who did so much for him. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, azavani v'shechachtani. We had a beautiful relationship and then you threw us out. Not just you threw us out, you don't even bother to remember anything good about what was. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, is a little bit taken aback. And the Ribono Shel Olam says, look up at the sky. Sounds familiar? Look up at the sky and see the complexity of the galaxy that is above you. Look how many stars there are. Look how many different facets to everything that's in the sky. And realize, Kulan lo barasi ela bishvilchem. All of that is here for you. I set up an entire world for you to live in. The entire ecosystem, the whole galaxy, is for you to live a comfortable life. And you're telling me, azavani v'shachachtani, you're hurling a claim against me that I have forgotten you? Now, why does the Ribono Shel Olam's response have anything to do with the sky? And it's the same point. Sometimes in life we feel, V'atomer tzion azavani Hashem, V'Hashem shechacheni, that Hashem has forgotten us, that the Ribono Shel Olam has forsaken us. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such things to happen? How could He put so many of our brothers and sisters in such danger? How can it be that people are living with so much fear and so much tension and anxiety? How could it be that it seems the world is imploding? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does He really care about us? We almost feel sometimes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not only thrown us out of His home, but He just doesn't care. And He doesn't remember any of the good things that anybody has done or continues to do. And the response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives is, look up at the sky. Realize that I have put a purpose for every single thing in creation, but all of it for you. Which means that we just need to realize that all of life is deliberate. All of life happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen the way it does. Nothing is random. Everything's for a purpose. And when you realize that everything's for a purpose, you're no longer a shvuri lev. You're no longer depressed. Look at this past week's parsha. Cain and Hevel is a very painful story. It's a painful story on so many different levels. But in essence, Cain comes up with this great idea. Nobody ever thought of doing what Cain did. Cain came up with this great idea of bringing a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of sacrificing himself to the Ribono Shel Olam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't accept it. Hevel says the pasuk, Hevi Gam Hu. The Mefarshim explain it means Hevel completely stole the idea of Kayin. This wasn't his idea. He saw a great idea, and he outdid his brother. Kayin brought from the simple, base elements of creation. Hevel decided, once I'm going to bring something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let it be something beautiful. But he stole the idea from Kayin. God, I had such a great idea. I tried to connect with you. I brought spirituality into the world. Look what I did, says Kayin. And what reaction do you have? You ignore me. You ignore me and you pay attention to my brother. You accept my brother's offering and you reject mine. I would say Kayin is probably the first human being to have the question of Tzadik Goralo. Look what I tried to do. And this is what you do to me in response? So what happens? Kayin gets up in his rage and he murders his brother Hevel. And what happens next? Do you know how long Kayin lived? Kayin lives almost 1,500 years after that episode. So now let's turn the tables. You, Kayin, were upset. You had a question of Tzadik Viralo. You took matters into your own hands and you murdered your brother Hevel because you're angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now who's the Tzadik Viralo? Hevel, who's the great Jew. Not Jew, but Hevel, who's the great personality who actually brought the proper carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually appreciated. Who the Ribbono Shel Olam actually accepted. Hevel's life gets cut short and he dies. And Kayin lives on a wonderful, joyous life, 1,500 years. Imagine what the newspapers were writing at the time. Huh? All of you thought that Hevel was so righteous. All of you thought Hevel was so great. History has proven otherwise. 1,500 years of history has proven that Kayin is not really as bad as you thought. And maybe Hevel deserved to be killed. Right? Sounds about right? I assume that's what all the news was talking about for the longest time. Hevel is a forgotten memory, distant memory. Who cares about him anymore? What started off as a question of Tzadik Viralo ends up, Kayin was right. His kasha against the Ribbono Shel Olam was correct, and he had the right to kill his brother, it seems. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have done something to destroy him. But he didn't. He lives Elef Taf Resh Nun Vav Shana. Do the math. Taf is how much? 400. He lives 1,000, almost 1,500 years. Sounds like he's a pretty good person. Writes the Chasam Sofer, that's how skewed our perspective is. Let's play out history just a little bit further. Just a little bit further. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Medrash writes, Hevel came back into the world, a reincarnation in Shais. Adam and Chava have another child. They named him Shais because Kishas li Elokim zera acher tachas Hevel b'ni. This child is named for the child that they lost. He has the neshama of Hevel. So now you have two brothers living life, Kayin and Shais. Hevel is out of the picture. You have Kayin and Shais. 1,500 years of a glorious life of Kayin. Sounds from a very simple level like Kayin is okay. Things aren't as bad as we thought. He's not as evil a Russia as you may have imagined. Look, life has proven that things are pretty good for him. But what happens next? Don't stop history there. Give yourself the opportunity to have a little bit more of a panoramic view. Zoom out the lens just a little bit more. What happens after those 1500 years? You know what happens? Every single descendant of Cain is wiped out in the Mabul. Not one member of Cain's family survives. And the entire world is reestablished from Shais. And all of humanity as we know it today comes from Hevel, who was reincarnated in Shais. Every good thing that has happened since that time is attributed back to Hevel. Every positive contribution to the world since the time of the Mabul goes back to Hevel. Don't be so limited. Don't look at one snapshot in history and say, I understand what's happening, or this is what the news is telling me, so it must be what's going on. Realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mona mispar lakochavim lechulam shemos yikra. There's a very complex creation out there. There's a very complicated story that for the most part we're simply unaware of. You look at the world and you see Cain seems to be right. Cain seems to be justified. Cain is rewarded with 1500 years of life, but it's nothingness. It's 1500 years of nothing. 1500 years that end in disaster, that have no remnant moving forward. And you have the person who you thought their entire life was uprooted, was destroyed, is the foundation and the bedrock of all of humanity moving forward. That's the Ribono Shel Olam. When you look at the word emes, the Mefarshim point out, emes is spread out. Aleph is the first letter in the alphabet, mem is the middle, and tav is the last. This sounds like a kindergarten riddle, but it's not. Emes, sometimes you have to look at a panoramic view to see the emes. To see the truth, you have to zoom out the lens. When you focus and all you look at is what's in front of you, without appreciating that there's a larger perspective, what you get is sheker. Shin, kuf, resh are all next to each other. Sheker is a limited perspective. Emes sometimes takes a person to be able to be expansive, to see something larger, to appreciate there's a bigger story than what I'm seeing. There's something greater than what I'm imagining. And in fact, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that. Bereishis bara Elokim, the very first words of the Torah, Mefarshim point out, the Baal HaTurim writes on Chumash, are Sofei Tevos Emes. Right, Bereishis, the last letter in Bereishis is Tav. Bara is Aleph. Elokim is Mem. Why is it the Sofei Tevos? Because sometimes you don't see it right when you look at it. You have to look at the end. When you look at the end, you have a perspective on what the emes really is. And it's very hard. It's very hard not to be pulled into the sheker, not to be pulled into all that we read and all that we see, and not to be blinded by these perspectives that are kulo sheker, by these perspectives that are hevel havalim, by these perspectives that give us no security, because we don't realize that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem lo yishmar ir, shav shakat shomer. Don't waste your time focusing on investigations, who's at fault and why, and how the security detail missed all of this, and where was the intelligence failure, and who's going to pay the price for this, and is the government going to collapse because of it, and what's going to be with the Israeli economy, and how are we going to save it, and what are we going to do? Everyone has to do whatever they can do to be helpful. And you may not realize that there are things you can do to be helpful. You don't have to do something major. Do something small. Be helpful. Do something. Be selfless just a little bit. And understand that it's not a time to be depressed. It's a time to be sad. It's a time to be anxious. Maybe it's a time to be afraid. More than anything, it's a time to do tshuva, to realize that this was a gzeira on all of us, not on those people who are suffering through it on the front lines. It's a gzeira on all of us. Hatsur tamim pa'alo. Tzadik v'yashar hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all of us into account when he decided to do this. Realize, Mona misper lakochavim, v'chulam shem asikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system in the world. It's a system of emes. The Gemara says, Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. What does that mean? It means it's an expansive view of the world. It's not limited. It's not a snapshot. And what seems to many of us as a depressing reality and an awful reality that has no purpose, reframe that and understand that you're in the position of that woman who is in labor. You're in a position of that woman who is in birthing pains. She's not depressed. She's in a lot of pain. But she's not depressed because she understands there's a mission, a purpose, and a goal for every moment of pain that she's living through. And when we shift our perspective and start to realize and appreciate that, it gives us an opportunity not to live life and walk around feeling depressed all the time, but to live life and walk around to try to understand what is the purpose and the goal and the mission of everything we're living through, of all that we're experiencing, of every emotion that we have. To realize that in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a purpose and there is a mission. There is an understanding. This is not haphazard. The same way when you look up at the sky, none of that is haphazard. Nothing in our lives is haphazard either. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to be the Shomer Yisrael, to continue to be the one who understands and who hears our tefillah, to be the one who will take away this feeling of confusion, this days that we're all in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be the one who is not only the Baal HaMelchamos, but who will turn around and show us that he is also able to be the one who is Matzmiach Yeshuos, who is able to bring forth a Yeshua that comes from nothing, a Yeshua that can be unexpected. Yeshuas Hashem Keherafayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to do that. There's nothing at all to do with any country, with any leader, with any politician. We all have to do our shtadlanos. Everybody has to do whatever they can. I'm not sure if